as we pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you. Lord, we come into this time of the word trembling, Lord, and with reverence. Come under the covering of our fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus. And we ask for fresh mercy and unction, that Lord, you will open up this word unto us. And Lord, cause Lord the word to flow out of me like a stream of living water, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, that this word will accomplish in us, in all our hearts, including my own, an internal work, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation from the Holy Spirit fresh, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we will not be the same, but our lives will be transformed in Jesus' name. Lord, under the covenant of our fathers, as the word now goes forth, let yokes be broken. Back it with your power, so that, Lord, ankle bones will be strengthened. Lord God, Lord, heavy burdens will be undone. Lord, every veil will be torn and be removed, so that we will see you more clearly and be able to follow in, walking and leaping and praising you as we enter deeper into your presence in the name of Jesus. As the service goes on, let your presence increase. Help me to be concise, to be precise. I ask for mercy, to be faithful, so that, Lord, as after the example of my fathers, I will redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, causing all the glory to go to your name and blessings to come to us, the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've been in for some time. And we're in chapter 5, and the last time we were here, we were looking at verses 12 and 13. And we saw in that discourse, just before 12 and 13, from about 9:10, you see that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in this book, you know, well, you must remember that the Thessalonian church was a church that was born in persecution, you know, and they endured a lot of persecution. But yet, you know, by the mercy and the grace of God, they were faithful, you know, and the Apostle Paul was instrumental in that, even though he wasn't there physically, he was writing this letter to them to encourage their faith so that they would stand even in the face of persecution and inherit all that God wants them to inherit. And it applies to us today as well. And here at this point in verse 9, he was saying that we have been appointed as Christians to obtain salvation by Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, I've been appointed. Say, I have an appointment to keep with God for the glory. Amen. So there's an appointment, and it is the will of God for every man. But particularly, you know, it's extremely important that we understand that it's not just being born again. When he's talking about salvation, he's talking about the full salvation. Salvation of the spirit, which is being born again. Salvation of the soul. And then the salvation of the body. And the essence of it is so that as Christians, we can fulfill our destiny. Now, Pastor has said it over and over, and it bears repetition. Our destiny is not to be an engineer. Our destiny is not to be an architect. Our destiny is to inherit the fullness of Christ, to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then that makes you, to that degree, you know, a more excellent engineer, a more excellent doctor. You can now use that to demonstrate the glory of God in the field that God has given you. But when you grow into fullness, God then entrusts us with our inheritance, which is a spiritual inheritance. We inherit what the Bible calls the spirit without measure. That is the power of God. That we have access to the unlimited power of God, as it was in the life of Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 14:12, it says, greater works than these shall you do. Amen. So God wants us, we have been called to the obtaining of the glory. Jesus wants us to obtain the glory so we can do greater works. And that's the will of God for us. And so, and then demonstrate the power of the ages to come throughout the earth. And the essence of this is to witness God's faithfulness, that God has done what he said he would do. God is big enough, brethren, to do what he said he would do. He's going to bring every promise to fulfillment. Amen. And if you look in the Bible, you know, we see that and we get strong encouragement from that, that God's going to fulfill that promise, you know, as wonderful as it sounds. Amen. All right. And then when the glory is being manifest by the perfect church, that exalts the church and draws men. Multitudes in the valley are drawn unto God. Amen. And then we are able to subdue entire nations. The Bible says, bind their senators. No, with wisdom. And no, teach them wisdom and instruction. You know, you do it by the force of spiritual arms, through the glory of God that we have inherited. The nations will not open to the earnest of the Spirit. The nations are going to open to the fullness of the Spirit in Jesus' name. So that's the will of God for us. Okay, and we see in subsequent verses, verse 11, that we must maintain constant communion with God. It's extremely important. It is through communion with God that all these things are going to be fulfilled. You have to stay in communion with God. Even the rapture, Bible says, they that are alive and remain. Alive is physically alive. Remain means you are in communion with him. You are in communion with him. You're walking in love. You know, he's flowing. His life is in you. You are in him and he is in you. You know, and that's the will of God. That's how we are going to do all this. So the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, the power of God are flowing in sufficient measure constantly to enable us grow up into him in all things, which is the will of God for us. All right? And brethren, our destiny this morning, God was sharing with me that our destiny is to manifest that glory. Amen. The Moses that we remember that made the whole of Egypt tremble was not Moses in Egypt, mighty in word and deed. It was Moses demonstrating the power of God. He has come again, oh, turned water to blood. He has come again, oh, sent the lies. Is that Moses? The manifesting Moses is the Moses that they trembled at. The Moses that Joseph, the Joseph that Egypt saw and admired, was Joseph that demonstrated the glory, the wisdom of God for wealth. You know, it was the same. The Daniel that men, when they asked the report, this was not Daniel talking about himself. It was them talking about Daniel, that the spirit of the holy gods is in him. He has an excellent spirit. That Daniel was a manifesting Daniel. The Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, that brought us salvation and is taking us to the glory, is not the baby in the manger. He's not the one that went to the temple at age 12 and stayed back. It is the one that inherited the glory at 30 and went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. The same way you and I are going to manifest in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Amen. This is our treasure. This is our priority. This is our priority as children of God. So we, in verse 12 and 13, we see then the apostle begin to beg. God does two things here. He's begging and he's warning. God is begging and warning. Begging because he doesn't want you to miss out on what he has prepared. Warning in the sense that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you will see another side of him. And so there will be nobody you can see. You can't tell the Holy Spirit, let me beg them. It doesn't work like that. That's why he's telling us ahead of time. And he says that we should know them that labor amongst us. You know, and in verse 12, thank you. It says, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very, let's say one more time, very highly well in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. And we saw in that, that last lesson that we need to recognize true prophetic and apostolic leadership that God has set in the church. Because God is the one that set them. And their job is that they're going to take us into the glory. The same way Moses took Israel into the promised land is the same way they are taking us into the promised land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ with the glory and the demonstration of the powers of the age to come. That's exactly the same pattern. And we see that in Isaiah 51 in verse 2. We just see there Isaiah 51 verse 2. Yes. Let's read together. Look unto. Let's read it from verse 1 so you can get the sense of what he's saying. Right. Hearken to me, ye that what? Follow after righteousness. So it's talking about the trail of God. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you have been, you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. There is a pattern that God has set in the church by the mercy and the grace of God. And Jesus is the pattern son. The Apostle Paul here is the pattern disciple. And we see Isaiah saying that there is a pattern to follow. And the choice of pattern will affect everything that you choose. So be careful how you choose the pattern. And God didn't leave us in doubt. He also let us know exactly what to look for in order to make the right choice of pattern. So you cannot say you made that choice and because you didn't know. You made it because there are certain criteria God has set in the world. And we saw them last week. We're not going to go into them in detail. But it's important to say that the first thing is the pattern. The Bible talks here about Luke 6:45 about the fruit of good treasure that comes out of the heart. The Bible talks about patience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the character of God. So we're talking about people who copy God's character and so have developed God's heart and then can be entrusted with hidden manna that comes from the holiest of all. So when they bring out the word of God to us, surely, like the dream Jesus said, he said, never man speak like this man. You hear the word and it is deep, it is simple, and it sticks in your heart and transforms you. That's how you know. It's the fruit of good treasure. That word, that epignosis of the word of God that comes out with power, with simplicity, and builds you up. So that you know you are changing on the inside. You know, and this is the will of God. So we see this here, and it's important to mention that they inspire us to see and follow after present truth, and then they establish us in the experience of it. The prophetic causes us to see and inspires us, and the apostolic establishes us. And when you begin to follow after, then it establishes you. They are not the same. One, the prophetic is wisdom. I beg about it, is revelation. You see, opens your eyes so you can see. So this is where we're going. All right, Bible says the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. So the prophetic will teach you what Israel ought to do. You know, they preach, they teach and prophesy the present truth of God's word. Then the apostolic comes and establishes you with wisdom, simplicity of instruction, to keep walking in that, so that you can't go back. And together, they establish in us a foundation upon which we are able to lay hold and inherit the glory. So we see, you know, and it's like, it's an analogy that God gave me here. It's like trying to catch a bus or train. You know, the trains have certain times. They have a 6:30 train. They have a 7 o'clock train. They have a 12:45 train. You know, so if you are going for a 6:30 train, you must do everything you're doing to be able to get to the station on time and catch the train. The train is not going to wait for you. They will print out a manifest, the word of God. Then they will make announcements, the prophets and the apostles, that this is the time. So when you have decided, this is where I'm going, it is your responsibility now to get on the train. We'll get on the train in Jesus' name. The train will not leave the station without us. Amen. Look, if it was not possible, He will not say, like, look at Matthew 23, verse 37. Matthew 23, 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets, the people that are supposed to be driving the train. When you kill the train driver, where are you going? Nowhere. Okay? That killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Then and he says, your house is left unto you desolate. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. They saw the train in the station. They heard the whistle of the man that is blowing. We are ready to go. We are ready to go. And they ignored it. We will not be like them in Jesus' name. All right? So it's a very graphic picture. Yeah, they missed the day of visitation. So we will not miss the time of our visitation. Because, you know, we're in the season. So in this season, in these times and seasons, we must be alert. That's what he's saying. We must be aware of what is going on. So they gather us together in the upper room of divine love and intercession through their example, okay, in self-denial, in intercession, deep intercession, in the preaching and the study and practice of God's word, you know, in the demonstration of the character of Christ, so that we drink from their lives, the two olive trees, on the other side of the candlestick. So we drink from their lives, the type of the apostolic and the prophetic, the true one. Okay, and there are five ways. Bible says, esteem them very highly. How do you esteem them very highly? One, a heart of reverence. Two, you must obey their instruction. Three, you give to their ministry. We saw all this last time, so I'm just mentioning it. You know, when you give to their ministry, the heavens over your life are open. And so the life of God, the mercy and the grace of God can flow to you to continue to cause you to grow spiritually. You know, and so that, because that's extremely important. And then number four is praying for them. It's important to pray for them. You know, pray for them either corporately with other brethren. We need to pray for our leaders. Amen. We're not supposed to be, they're not prayer contractors. That they're the ones always praying. The praying is two-way. They pray for us, we pray for them. Amen. And it's very important because because of their strategic position, Satan wants to, Bible says, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So to make sure that does not happen, we make sure we pray for them. And that's what happened in the book of Acts of the Apostles. When they were not praying, Herod took James and killed him. So, and it's an example to us that we need to lift them up in prayer. Amen. Them and their family, both corporate and individual. And then finally, loyal companionship. Companionship is extremely important. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm not turning there. I'm just mentioning it. You know, it's the Bible says, only Luke is with me. It says, Demas has forsaken me. You know, I pray that God will not lay this thing to their charge. We're supposed to stand with them, brethren. Very important. Amen. Stand with them. You know, it's not from afar. You come closer. That's the will of God. And God will help us in Jesus' name. All right. So we continue as we move on. And one important thing to note here in verse 13 is that Bible says that we ought to fear them and give them reverence, because the honor that God has given them is actually God-given. It's not... They didn't snatch it from God. The Bible says no man can receive anything except it first be given him from heaven. When you talk about spiritual leadership, I know now in the church, some people snatch things. No, you started, some people are sent to lead a church, you know, or pastor a church, and then before you know it, they change the name of the church. You know, it used to happen. They change the name of the church, and all of a sudden, the flock become their own. The flock are not yours. They're God's. You know, and so sometimes you see a signboard of a church and says they put the name of some of the overseer or the general overseer and say, this is the person inviting you to this church. You know, why is that? It is because in the church we have people who think that the honor can be taken by man. You can take something by yourself, but you cannot force God's hand. You cannot take what is God-given. You can take what man has given, and what man has given, man can take away. But what God has given, man cannot take away. And that's extremely important. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 4 to understand this. God has to call us. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 4 says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." So there is a calling. God calls. And when he calls, he equips. Amen. And that equipment, over time, we then by spiritual growth enter into a place of leadership in the church. So when God is saying, warning us, it's because these are people who over the years have grown spiritually. And so they have been set there by virtue of how much they have grown. It's not something that is just done spuriously by God. They have fulfilled certain criteria, in God's eyes, before God set them there. It's very important. And you look at the example of Joseph, it took God 21 years from the time when he gave Joseph the dream to the time when his brothers bowed. It took him 21 years. We check the scriptures in Genesis chapter 41, verses 46 and 47. We see that at 30, he came out of prison. So between 17 and 30 is 13 years. Then there were 7 years of plenty. And then it was in the beginning of the years of famine. So we're talking about at least 8 years. 8 plus 13 is 21, giving us a type, of how growing up into full maturity occurs. So that's why God invests so much in them. He has invested so much in them. And then when he has now taken them up and set them in the heavenly in heavenly places as leaders. So that's why it's important for us to fear. Because it's not man that did it. It is God that did it. Amen. And if you despise it, then you're going to answer to God. Now, there is men, look at Matthew 20, verse 21 and 23. You see that men sometimes set men that are not called by God. And that's important. Look at Matthew 20 here. Say, "And he said unto her," this is the story of the mother of Mary, of mother of John, and his brother, the sons of thunder. She comes to beg that I want them to have position, one on your right, one on your left. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on thy left," leaving space for nobody else, "in thy kingdom." Next verse. "But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." Next verse. "And he saith unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not what? Mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." To whoever qualifies. So when God has set men in authority over us, it's because they qualify. That's why they're there. And that's why we should fear. Amen. All right. So let's move on to verse 15 now. Verse 15. 14 and 15. Let's read it together. Let's read it together. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Next verse. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." What's the apostle talking about here? Let's look at it in the Amplified so we get a deeper sense of what he's saying. "And we earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, and seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, and the unruly. Encourage the timid and the faint-hearted. Help and give support, your support to the weak souls. And be very patient with everybody, always keeping your temper. Next verse. Amen. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually. No. Verse 15. See that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and to everybody. Now, the apostle is saying here that loving one another consistently, remember everything we said, comes out of communion with God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So everything is flowing. Bible says, no, that which we have seen, which our ears have heard, which our hands have handled, you know, that fellowship. So when you get born again, God is calling us to fellowship with his son and with brethren. Amen. We are being called to fellowship. There is a communion with God, a communion with those in authority, and your brethren all around you. Amen. And that communion is extremely important because it is through that communion that we grow. The body is going to edify itself, as we'll see later on. So this is the will of God. So here, he's pointing out that we need to discern from that communion in prayer. That's where the communion comes from, in the place of prayer, forgiving one another. Like the Bible says in 1 John 5:16, asking life for one another, praying for one another. That communion must be consistent all day long. It is out of that communion that we discern who is unruly, we discern who is weak, we discern who is faint-hearted. You are not supposed to support the unruly. I am not supposed to warn the weak and say, be careful of your weakness, oh. You better be strong. Amen. It's very important that we discern. And we cannot discern without the light of God flowing in us. That's why the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew, he says that we should remove the log that is in our own eye, that we may see clearly to be able to remove the speck in another person's eye. It's very important. Now, that flows from communion with God, so that we can discern who is unruly, who is faint-hearted, and we should be slow to condemn. Slow to condemn. Don't be quick to condemn. Slow to condemn, slow to retaliate, never write people off. God has not written you off. He has not written me off. So why do we write people off? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about giving people a long rope to pull, you know, just like he has done for us. Have eternal goodwill towards them. And brethren, the way to really do this, to really be able to do this, is to submit to one another in the fear of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, give me verse 17 first, and then we'll see verse 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. Wherefore, let's say it together, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As we deal with one another, we must understand the will of God in each situation. Amen. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us out of fellowship and communion with him. That helps us to see what is the will of God. And look at verse 21 now. Can understand now from verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. They are linked. The submission is the foundation that allows the wisdom and the life to be able to flow, so you can clearly see that this person needs comfort. That's what it means. This person needs to be warned. This person needs to be dealt with. Is that flow that opens our eyes to see clearly. And also, so as with the right attitude And with praying frequently, you know, we are able to encourage the weak. You know, for example, if you look at in the book of John chapter 8 verse 7, the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery, weak. And they said, Moses said we should stone her. And they were going to stone her. Because they didn't discern. And the Lord Jesus, on his part, he now discerned and said, okay, so he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And when they left, he that had the power to condemn did not condemn. Rather, he warned her and said, go and sin no more. Amen. So we see that this is what God wants us to do. And we grow in these things. We have to grow by practice. Amen. But this is the key. The key is that we are slow to condemn. No, don't retaliate. Don't do your own back. No, there's that thinking. It's carnal, but I mean, how many people have been there, you know? Oh, this person did this thing to me deliberately. I will show them. And by the time I finish with you, you will never try with me again. If you are doing, you are doing, not the people that you are doing that to, don't try me. Who are you? You owe God so much yourself, and there you are being intolerant and giving final warning. So if God and this is what God is saying. So if God had to give us final warning, the way we're giving people final warning, okay, that's your last warning. See, it's not fair. It's not love. That's the will of God now. It's not the love of God is that we maximize every situation as an opportunity to grow in the love of God. Amen. Everything now dovetails into love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the goal. Love is where we're going. So even when people do things, our response is, so what is love in this situation? How should I respond in this situation? That is what will guide us into what God wants us to do. Because, brethren, we can use every offense to improve in love. Amen. And that's what God wants. That's why the emphasis on love has been coming. We use every offense, every temptation, every aggravation as an opportunity to increase in the love of God. Amen. So that the more so instead of the thing dividing us, it binds us together. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. That's the will of God for us. God wants his church to be fully knit together. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. From whom the whole body, talking about Lord Jesus Christ, fitly joined together and compacted. It's like tightening every screw. It's like making sure the nuts and bolts are securely fastened. You know, he's making sure by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So everything is supposed to produce love. But I want you to see that it's a stepwise thing. First of all, the part must work effectually. Second of all, the joints must produce. And then finally, the whole body is edified. So our relationship with one another is a joint. But how, to the degree to which we're walking in the Spirit, we're in communion with God. That is the degree to which every part is working effectually. Amen. So we make sure that we're praying frequently and fervently. Look at John chapter 17. Pastor has shared this with us before. It's not new, but we see this here, that this is what it bears repetition, because as we get closer and closer to the glory, when we respond the way God wants us to respond, then by the mercy and the grace of God, we hasten the coming of the Lord. Amen. All right. John 17 verse 20. Says the Lord Jesus is praying. Say, neither pray I for these alone. Let's pray. Let's say, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Next verse. That they all may be one. as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He's talking about a fellowship, a flow of the life of God, amen, by the Holy Spirit, in and through us, amongst us. So I should not allow anything block my bowels toward those in authority over me and my bowels toward my brethren. Amen. I make sure those bowels are open. I am quick to forgive. And I forgive as an act of my will, not as a feeling. Amen. Like we're taught and encouraged and is emphasized every morning during Good Morning Jesus prayers. It's a choice. So I choose to forgive for that person's sake and for my own sake, so that my bowels are, so that I can receive the nourishment that I need to receive in order to be able to grow up. Like he says in Ephesians chapter 4. So he sees that this state is a state of unity, a state where there is a flow amongst us of the life of God. And it is that flow that comforts the weak, so the weak become strong. It is that flow that warns the unruly, so they now become obedient. It is that flow that strengthens the feeble-minded. Amen. The faint-hearted, the timid, so they become strong and of good courage. It is that flow. It's the flow. And it takes time. It takes time. That's why we need to be patient with one another. Amen. We need to give one another another opportunity. It's just, not just once. It's repeated over time. Bible says a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, until he sends forth judgment into victory. The idea is to strengthen and until that body becomes just as strong as the part that was giving it life. So all the body becomes balanced, because the body must be balanced. You can't have, because once there's a weak part, we're only as strong as our weakest link. Once there's a weak link, Satan's going to use that weak link. So the idea is to strengthen every link. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. That's what God wants us to do. And when we do that, when we strengthen the weak link, it takes us into the unity of love. Look at that next verse, verse 21. John 17, 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John 17, 21, next verse. Right. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe. Like the Bible says, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. That's that. So it's the love that they see. It's the love, that love must, and this is in relationships. So brethren, your relationship with your maid, your driver, if you have one, your colleague in the office, your spouse, your children, your in-laws, everything is important. Everything, please don't quiet, everything is important. There are not some people that one there is a special case. No, they are part of your project. They are part of, insofar as they are members of the body, they are part of your project. Amen? And you don't have any right to throw anybody away. Your part is just to love. Oh, no man anything except to love him. So you keep loving him. And it is in that love, what God is doing as we do this, is that God begins to repair, strengthen, and reconnect. You know, when there's a force in your area, NEPA sends an outfield team. They come with a van. You know, they've changed their name now, it's not NEPA. But they come with a van, you know, and they come with their tools. And they begin to, they switch up the power first. They can't repair the fault in your house or on your line when the power is on. So they switch off the power. So everybody's in darkness temporarily. Then they go, they climb up, they connect, they check the connection. Then they test it, the diodes, or whatever it is, you know, that needs to be there. Don't let me cross my boundary. all right? So they check it, all the resistors, everything must be in place. Everything must be checked. Then they will test it in a limited way. You know that's what God is doing? He gets you born again.
just puts us together. We are gathered together in the upper room of prayer. And as we are praying every morning, he's correcting. He's checking. These words are coming out through prayer every day. Plus the one you read, the daily rhema, will correct something. Plus the one you read in your Bible study will correct something. Then you have to practice those things. God is checking the connection. Making sure it's firm. No loose ends. Nothing must be loose. We don't want any fuse to blow. They replace blown fuses. I cannot handle this. Your fuse has blown. I will not agree with that. Then nobody can tell me that your fuse has blown. They have to change your fuse and give you a heart that is willing to endure, to submit. A heart that is willing to take more and take more. That Philippians 2 tells us what Jesus left all the glory. But then try and imagine all the glory that was rightfully his. He didn't count equality, we got something to be grasped. He didn't grasp it. He left it and became a man. That itself was a great act of humility. If he stopped there, you can't say he was not humble. Then he went even as a man, taking the form from the form of God, like Pastor showed us. The form of God. You know the form of God is? The earth is his footstool. To come and be you and I, same height, same form of a man. Okay, taking that. And then in that form, dying on the cross. For not sinning at all. And you accepted that and said, I received that salvation. And now you now have to do the same for your brethren. The same way he loved you. The same way. So you humble yourself. You come down. So, and that's what God is doing. So when the connection has been set and everything is in place, then they test just to make sure with the little power before they switch on the full thing. God is about to switch on in the body of Christ. Amen. He wants to switch on the power of the Spirit without measure. But we need to make sure that we are properly fitted. Everything is screwed down. Your love walk, your forgiveness, your prayer life, your practice of love, all the different aspects of love. Love, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, everything. And that's why God keeps sending people to you and I. So that we can you know, adjust the fuse. Adjust the fuse. They are sent ones to usher us into our destiny. Amen. So take them with understanding, with revelation inside. That yes, Lord, I understand what you're doing. And so instead of complaining, I never stop praying. Because when you stop praying, then you open yourself up to responding normal, like a natural man. Keep praying. Keep praying. Stay in communion all day long. Bible says pray without, verse 16 to 18. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Because it is that praying without ceasing that gives you the equipment, the wherewithal, the wisdom, the power, so that you are able to love the way you're supposed to love. And you keep your joy. Amen. Don't let things take your joy. Don't let people take your joy. Your joy is under your control. Your joy is from the Lord. No one can take your joy except you let them. Nothing can except you let it. So we stop allowing things to take our joy. We start cultivating thankfulness. We start giving God thanks for the things that we have. Yes, there's some things that we're expecting God to do, but we thank God for the things that he has already done. Amen. We keep giving. Bible says, this is my infirmity. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Psalm 77. Amen. We keep thanking God for what he has done. We count our blessings. And when we go in and meditate more and more on the word of God. Amen. And allow that word to be written upon our hearts. So that our joy does not come from the outside. Our joy comes from the inside. That's the will of God. And brethren, you know, and that's one. So that power of God flowing in our hearts. Bible talks in Colossians 2:2 that our hearts may be knit together. God is knitting hearts together. Amen. The Bible is talking about the life of God flowing in and through us. So the key is now test the circuits in your home and make sure it's functional. Amen. Test the circuit in your workplace. Make sure it's functional. And then as we close, We look at examples. Imagine if Paul and Silas, when they were beaten, wrongfully so, and were cast into prison, were busy saying, "Oh God, Paul, and you gone. That word you brought was too hard. You should have just said it with wisdom. See now, see my back is paining me." No, but then the reality of it is that, you know, that was possible. But because they were praying, Bible says, and they prayed. And at midnight. So they prayed and sang praises. How can you sing praise? The singing praise is the joy. It's the evidence of joy. But what brings joy is the constant communion. Nothing should make us stop praying. Like Pastor taught us, everything is an opportunity to pray. Lord, have mercy. You know, in your thoughts. And then you think the word, Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. You know, and then you pray in the spirit and you think on the word at the same time. And then the situation may not have changed. Like Paul and Silas, they were there. It didn't change initially. It didn't change. But you see, the things that appear are controlled by the things that do not appear. And when you do what you're supposed to do, a spiritual earthquake comes into your situation that changes it. It remained the same, but we sang. And when the earthquake came, the earthquake just represents the power of God, the awesome power of God. It flowed, but that power needed to flow through people. It had to flow through relationships. Paul and Silas were together, praying together. So the power flowed in that unity. We also have the power flowed. When Jesus was going to go and heal, he would ask some disciples to stay back and take Peter, James, and John. Why do you think he did that? Because he wants people that will allow the power to flow and not people that will kill the power or insulate the power. Amen. We will be conductors of the power of God in Jesus' name. This is the will of God. Amen. So the power flowed and manifested. It's the manifestation that brought the way of escape. Amen. The same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine Jesus going to go and heal, going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, and on his way to raise Lazarus from the dead, Judas was stealing from the bag. He knew about that. He didn't let it disturb him. Mary and Martha had their own belief. So, brethren, this is what I'm trying to bring up by the help of the Holy Spirit. Everything around you doesn't have to be perfect. There can be imperfect people around you. But by relating with them in wisdom and love, you can conduct the power of God into their lives and your circumstances such that they will grow and change. And more of the power will manifest in your life in Jesus' name. And when we test all the connections and make sure everything in its proper place, then God now switches on the power. And then we now have that manifestation of the Spirit without measure. What then do we need to do, brethren? What the Bible says in Romans chapter 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. So we cast off the works of darkness. It's not a time to sleep. Peter was also in prison, but he slept. But thank God there was praying going on in the church. Now we are in a praying church, amen. But God is asking us, look, everybody needs to wake up. Amen. Everybody needs to what? Wake up. Wake up and start deliberately, intentionally exercising ourselves in love by maintaining constant communion through fervent and frequent praying in tongues. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Conley. I believe the Lord has spoken very clearly to us in that Bible study. And all of us need to go and work on this great truth of our interconnectivity in the church. I think it's a truth that the reality of which has not been as emphasized as it should be. And as he was speaking, I took a note. Well, I actually took a few notes. But I want to emphasize two scriptures. I think he mentioned them in passing. I don't know if he emphasized them. And let's look at Colossians chapter 2 in verse 19. The King James to start with, and then the Amplified Bible, and then also Ephesians 4:16. We'll do it one by one. First of all, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And here he says, "And not holding the head." The head, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but watch this. Our connection with Jesus is both direct and indirect. In other words, you have a connection with the Lord. Then you also have a direction with the Lord through members of the body. Like I said, this truth has not been emphasized, or rather has not been emphasized properly down through the years. Because so many Christians have this, what one would call an independent spirit. Oh, well, you know, I know the Lord. I don't need anybody else. You know, all I just need is God. You know, but that's not true. You know, not holding the head from which. Now, it's from the head, all the body. If you're a member of the body, wave me your hand. So turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. So this is, there is no body who is exempted from this. From which all the body. Every member of the body of Christ, by what? Joints and bands having nourishment ministered. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you have a connection with the Lord Jesus, and you also have a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ through joints and bands through which nourishment is ministered unto you. You cut off those connections, your nourishment level will drop. And that's why so many Christians are malnourished. Hello? If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Oh, looking at me funny. Praise the Lord. Let me use a natural illustration, you know. When we eat, we have carbohydrate, we have protein, we have fats, we have vitamins, we have minerals. You know, if you drop, if you cut off certain food elements, you know, from your diet, you're going to become malnourished. You know? So many Christians are malnourished because they have cut off nourishment from certain joints and bands. A joint is a connection between one or more members. A band is a connection like a sinew, something that's coming from the head. And the bands will really refer to the leadership. And the joints refer to other members of the body of Christ. You know, just your ordinary brethren who may not necessarily be pastors or people in leadership and in leadership positions. But every Christian has a connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, has a connection to the Lord Jesus Christ through other Christians and through those in positions of leadership. Now, every single one of those connections are important because there's a certain nourishment that is ministered at those, you know, through those different connections. And when you disconnect through unforgiveness, dishonesty, rebellion, wrong attitudes, you cut off all those other nourishments. Now, you're not trying to get the one from God yourself, but the one you get from God for yourself is so small, it will not be enough to make up for the one you're losing. If you can't say amen, say oh me. And knit together and increaseth with the increase of God. The second scripture is Ephesians 4:16. And then I will close with this lovely thought. They're actually saying the same thing. It's same Paul, but he used different language and emphasizing different different clarity. He said, from whom? The whole body, fitly joined together. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am joined to you whether I like you or not. You say it properly. One more time. So long as you are in Jesus and I am in Jesus, we are joined together. So we must learn to live together. Give the Lord a clap offering. The whole body is what? Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, that's that joint again, you see it in Colossians 2 here. Joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So every Christian, every member of the body has a part he should play. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice that it is God who does this, but he does it through us. The body edifies itself. It's God who does it, but it's through, like he was saying with Paul and Silas. It was God who did it, but it was through the relationship and the connect. I think the better word is the word fellowship. It was through the fellowship of Paul and Silas and how they operated together. So the power would not have flowed if there was a disconnect between Paul and Silas at that time. Now, he said something, and I wanted to use these two scriptures to clarify it and amplify it. That's why we must forgive one another. That's where the blood comes in. In every joint, maybe two, three, four, you know, if you have every joint of your body, like this, my finger now, you know, there's a joint here, there's another joint here, there's a joint at my wrist, there's a joint in my knees, you know, wherever you have two or more members coming together, that place is a joint. Now that joint, you have to make sure that power can flow through the joint. And it's flowing through the joint. And the way you do that is through forgiveness. Because you're going to have, like you said, you're going to have different kinds of people with their infirmities and with their idiosyncrasies and with their, you know, wrong attitudes and words and actions. Now, for you as an individual, you make sure that you play your own part in that joint. And that's where the blood of Jesus comes in. But as anybody sees brother sin and sinner, who is not, says, ask life. Jesus said it this way. No wonder he said it, because he had this knowledge by revelation. You know, he said, if your brother sins against you 70 times 7, there's a reason. He's trying to tell you that it does not matter how often you have to do it, you must do it. He just used 70 times 7, you know, just to tell you there is no limit. 70 times 7. Does that mean how often will my brother sin against me? I forgive him. 70 times 7. Don't your neighbor say 70 times 7 for each day. So tomorrow again, the reset counter goes back to zero. Praise the Lord. For you, there is no choice. So when you see people just say, Lord, have mercy on them, ask the blood to cleanse them. That's how that joint will be functional. Then he said another thing, which is very important. He said you have to have the wisdom to be able to deal with them. That's why you have the knowledge of the word. Because the wisdom of God comes from the written word of God. And so you need to be able to, that's why the more Bible you know, the more you read your Bible, the more you come to church and listen to messages like this, the more wisdom you're going to get. Then you will now know how to relate to people, you know, in different situations. For example, we shared this recently in church. You know, it says, don't rebuke not a scorner. If you notice that the person is going to be an argumentative kind of person, you don't tell him anything. You know what you just do? Ask for the blood and ask for life for him and leave him alone. Hello? Yeah, it's called secret love. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. But there is a time when it is not right. It's a rebuke, not. And the same Bible says don't rebuke a scorner. So for a scorner, You don't give him open rebuke. You just give him secret love. Because he's going to fight with you. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Are you listening to me? Okay. And then it is when those two things are in place. Watch this. The blood for the cleansing. You know, the word for the wisdom. And then you ask for life. And then you now pray in the spirit. So when you pray in the spirit, you switch the power on. But you cannot switch the power on if the connections are not there. That's why you need to forgive your brethren. That's why you need to ask life for them. It is when you forgive them and you ask life for them. When you now pray for them in tongues, the power that you generate and that you release in tongues can now have a connection through which to flow that will now edify and strengthen the body. And as that is done, like Pastor Cole, a beautiful illustration about the circuits, as that is being done, each connection at home, in your office and everything, you know, the power of the earnest, which is the one we have now, we just speak in tongues, is power too, but it's not at a full level. That smaller level of measure of power has to be tested with the correct connections, with the correct wisdom and all of that. When all of that is in place and it's all been tested with the earnest of the Spirit, then it is now ready for the one without measure. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Sovereign King of all the earth, I didn't hear you.
We stand as one before you. And with faith in our hearts, we ask that you touch us anew. These are the days of your power, spoken of from old.
Come in your glory. And power,
and let your love come.
Sovereign King of all the earth, start from the beginning.
Sovereign King of all the earth,
we bring
before you,
and with faith in our hearts. That you touch us anew. These are the days, glory to God.
These are the days of your power.
Spoken of
from old.
Come with your glory, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your spirit without measure.
With power from on high.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other one to God. As we respond in faith to this message, things we've heard and has been said to us are so important. It is sad that, you know, over the years this has not been as emphasized as it should be. So many Christians try and live independent lives. It's not possible. We are interdependent. You're not dependent on any one person in particular. But you are dependent on the body of Christ. We all need each other. And in particular, the people around you, like husband, wife, children, pastor, you know, the people you work with, you must make sure that all those joints are working. Clean them constantly with the blood of Jesus. Ask life for them. Deal with them with wisdom according to the word of God. And then pray for them in the spirit. And once the power of the spirit, with the earnest, that is the small measure of the power of the spirit, works, then we know that that circuit is okay. Then you keep working all around like that. It's only when all of them are working properly with the spirit with measure, that the spirit without measure can come in there. Now put that hand up and say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. We receive your life. We receive your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has come this morning reminding us of the vital importance of maintaining good relationships, good fellowship, and connections with the other members of the body of Christ around us, so that your power and your life can flow through us optimally to cause the edification of the body in love, so that in our walk with you, we truly can rejoice forevermore. We can pray without ceasing, and in everything we can give thanks. Father, put us into remembrance by fresh revelation from your Holy Spirit and wisdom, so that every opportunity, rather every circumstance that we face, good or bad, will be used as an opportunity to pray, an opportunity to release your life, an opportunity to release your love, an opportunity to release your power, so that the church and us individually, the church collectively and us individually, will be edified in love and grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and be ready for the outpouring of the power of the Spirit without measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Nekatolo mosheleke kukofrenengas. La prikitu freningara. Mercy, Lord. Jikitu freklamatolo mashalaka kaklamatolo mostufre. Mercy, Lord. Jeleke kukoklamatolo. Lambrikitolo mtufre de freshe. Nokoklamatolo matolo mtufre de freshengaras. Lambrikoklamatolo mstufreshe. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. You may see it.